Rob, Michelle, Jen, Matt, and Brian.
Oh, welcome. Rob. Welcome.
Hi, Rob.
Welcome, welcome. So, what is on your mind this Happy New Year?
I was going to ask you what's on your mind today, Rob.
That's not your job. But it is your job when you're talking to clients.
Right. You want to get in that habit to see what's on their mind.
That's exactly right. You want them to talk first, make them feel empowered, and so you can gather more information about what really is on their mind.
No, that's good. We're still working. We're working through everything. I think we're moving forward with everything. Everyone's got it on their computer. We're putting talking to clients, getting everything segmented on the computer. Brian, anything you want to add? I mean, that's
scheduling the meeting times. Probably got 15 scheduled here. We're working our way through it, Rob.
Okay, so what's the client reaction?
It's been positive for the most part.
Yeah.
Someone had said to me, "Well, I thought you did that already."
What'd you say? We did, but we didn't get credit for it.
Well, we didn't formally talk about it. That's, you know.
Right. That's, we call it no anonymous giving.
Right.
So we actually want
it's
them to
generally,
realize.
Man, I don't think I've gotten any bad. I got one question I think I mentioned last time. The guy asked, is that going to make my fees go up?
Right. That's great. See, that's a great question. He's seeing more value, and he's feeling uncomfortable that the side of the scale is being pushed down, and he's going to have to do something to make up for it. People don't like to be indebted socially or even business-wise to somebody. They want in some way to pay them back. That's why people bring gifts for dinner and bottles of wine, and then they invite you back for dinner. It's that rule of reciprocity. So if
right.
you weigh the scales, if you give a lot more service, they're like very uncomfortable with that. They want to do something for you. And that's something, hopefully, you'll let them know is introductions to people that value the service as much as they have. And that's one of the benefits. They don't know that. They don't know how to do that. So that's part of what you're going to do, which is to train them. Just like you are now. You're training them on a new way of working together.
Right.
I mean, that's exactly what you're doing.
And you know what, when you ask... Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, when you ask what's on our mind, I mean, what's on my mind, too, is like we were kind of, you know, reviewing all our end-of-the-year numbers, and we finished, which is positive, our net acquired assets were up almost $17 million last year.
Wonderful.
You know, and that's after all the money leaving for whatever reason. But, I mean, we've got to get in our portfolios a way to grow that and maybe double it or triple it. So... That's what's on my mind right now, Rob, if you wanted to, you know.
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we lost you there for a couple minutes.
I know. I've got to I happened this morning, too. I got knocked off. So huh. I got to report it. Anyway, I apologize. I did hear your question. I did answer it, but you didn't hear me.
Didn't hear any
of word of it.
Uh-huh.
No, okay.
I thought you didn't like the question.
No, that was funny. Maybe he doesn't like the question. Anyway, because I have a cold, ask the question again.
No, I was just saying we reviewed our numbers. We got all the end-of-the-year stuff, and our net acquired assets after everything was we were up about $17.5 million. But we're looking to double that and triple that. And you said, well, what's on your mind? Well, that's what's really on my mind. How are we going to do that? I know we're going to do that with Supernova, but we're looking for other ideas too.
Right.
I mean, I will give you those ideas as you give feedback on what you're doing, okay? So, for example, we give you 7 different strategies for acquiring business in the Supernova Multiplier. So I want you to listen to that book and listen to each chapter on each of those strategies. And that does a couple things. It makes you smarter, but it also stimulates your brain and your creativity and your curiosity. And that's all good, right? And then when we talk about each of these strategies, you'll have a knowledge of what I'm talking about. And if you're doing it and using it, you can tell me how you're using it, and I might be able to take what you're doing and improve on it.
Okay.
So that's the advantage that, you know, that I have, is that I talk to thousands of advisors and can help. You know, I can be like a little butterfly moving from team to team, giving good ideas that I heard a week ago, you know. So, and they're all in different markets, so it's never a competitive situation. So, yeah, it works. But let's do the fundamentals well, and then we'll get to acquisition. Okay. All right, so did you get a chance to watch the video on Chapter 6?
Yes.
Okay, so what questions do you have, and how does that fit in with what you're doing?
I don't know. I've had a bunch of questions over the past few chapters, but I just nothing stood out at me as being terribly difficult this week. It's just a matter of doing it. You know, we're working our way through the schedule we've looked at, and we're planning on meeting after this call to kind of tie down our 24-month calendar of, you know, call topics. We have the list from your whatever you call this, the book, the workbook, but also the complex has provided a list, and I didn't really study it close enough to see how closely it matches up, but so we're going to go through that after this call.
All right, so in order to get some decent feedback, why don't you email that 24-month calendar and let me see it. And then here's another idea, which, you know, ideas come up because we talk and people hear different things. So one guy thought, oh, a 24-month calendar for marketing, that's a really good idea. And I said, well, let me hear what you've got. And he said, well, we've got these, you know, client events and seminars and this and that. And so he went through his 24-month calendar that he built around marketing. And I said, it's a great idea to get organized. Everybody kind of does that, but I don't think they put it down in writing. So I recommend that best practice now and go ahead and put it into your folder along with this 24-month calendar. So each of you should have your own folder that you use for your team meetings and place to take notes. You have an agenda, and these are activities. So the director of implementation is in charge of building the 24-month calendar. The director of marketing would be in charge of building the 24-month marketing calendar. And it may not have a lot on it because you don't do a lot of team marketing things. Maybe you do, and it's pretty robust. But it would be something that would be important to sort of help you stay organized and get organized. The other thing is to take – I'll just finish, and then you can ask questions. Take the 24-month calendar of items that you're going to talk to clients about, And consider putting it in each of the client folders or emailing it and telling them to put it in their folder. I think it's a great idea. We didn't institutionalize that, but I think we should, because it says how organized you are, and it's kind of like seeing what movies are coming to your local theater. It's just fun for them. They'll see what's going on, and they'll anticipate the fact that you're going to talk about long-term care, you're going to talk about debt financing, or whatever it is, beneficiaries, whatever it happens to be, they may be anticipating that and looking forward to it. So go ahead with questions.
That was you, Rob.
So if we're going to have a large seminar for the office, bring in an economist in May, that's what we would put for our calendar on May, right?
Right.
Okay.
For the marketing.
For the marketing, yeah.
Right.
Okay.
And that item might go then on the agenda from the marketing calendar, right?
Yeah. Okay.
So you put that on clients. So you've got a topic of speaking about, you know, you're working on debt financing or whatever. That comes from the director of implementation. And then the director of marketing says, hey, this month I'm putting on this idea of an invitation to our seminar on the economy. If you think it's appropriate, invite the client, put it on the agenda. I think it makes a lot of sense. It just says, you know, we're really organized and we're ahead of the schedule and so forth. So that's a great example. Great example.
Hey, Rob. Rob.
Yeah.
As we're going through these topics each month and choosing them, it looks like you kind of need like two sets of topics, because not all of these would be applicable to our Supernova clients. So if I'm going to do an annuity review, I'm not going to do that for a very wealthy, you know, entrepreneur, 40-some-year-old. You know, so should we really have two topics month that may apply to different age groups?
Yeah, you might, in that case, you focus on beneficiaries. You know, that would be kind of aligned with the idea of making sure that everything was current. And so, yes and no. You'd be surprised if you put the topic of annuities on. That's a good example. Let's say you did that. You put it on annuities, and they don't own an annuity. But they're curious about annuities, right? Everybody is. Why should anybody buy an annuity? And you're not selling them an annuity. You just tell them the pros and cons of doing it. Then when the guy calls from XYZ company selling an annuity, they go basically, yeah, I know all about annuities, and I'm not interested. Thank you very much. But they're not coming from ignorance. Long-term care would be another perfect example. Even though you may not, the guy's really wealthy. He doesn't need long-term care. But, you know, maybe he doesn't want his children with the responsibility of taking care of him and choosing what, how much he should be spent on mom and dad, you know, because they're both incapacitated. They both have dementia. And so, you know, I feel a little guilty moving them from this institution to that institution because we'll save a lot of money. And they won't know the difference. Well, that's a horrible thing, right? You think nobody would do that. You'd be surprised. People do horrible things for money. If it's already paid for, then even with a wealthy person, there's a reason to own long-term care. So that's just one example of educating the clients and thinking it through. So you may want to discuss the topic even if it doesn't apply that much for them. If you want to switch topics, great. You know, you just say, hey, I didn't think annuities applied, so we're going to talk about beneficiaries of, you know, all your beneficiaries of all the different, all kinds of beneficiaries is a pretty tricky topic and may take a while to be sure, you know, that everything is properly done.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
Now, here's what I would suggest doing. The director of implementation is kind of the training director for the team. So that is the person that should make sure the team is trained ahead of time, a month ahead, on the topic you're going to discuss. The other thing is to make sure that the department that's going to be involved knows that there may be an influx of business. So let's use debt financing, right? Let's say we're going to talk to all our clients about debt financing. And we have we've done a good job, but we, you know, there's people we've never talked to about it. And all of a sudden they go, yeah, I'd like to do a mortgage for my daughter, or I'd like to do a line of credit which will turn into a mortgage for my daughter, or whatever. And all of a sudden there's 10 mortgages that are going to be done in the department, and you know how mortgages can get screwed up. You want to be ahead of that. So you want to talk to the head of the mortgage department and say, you know, out of 100, out of 200, 300 clients we're going to talk to this month about mortgages, probably going to do anywhere from 10 to 30 mortgages. And we want them done really well, so we want your best person. And you can count on us doing some business with you. And they'll be like, yeah, great. We'd like to have a training session with that person and just talk to our administrators and talk to the people on our side to make sure we know exactly what's going to happen and how it's going to go. And you do all that ahead of time so you don't get screw-ups. And, you know, we used to actually do this as an office, and it was great. I mean, we did a lot of business, but I will tell you, as a manager, I did not want anything to go wrong because, you know, once you start to have something come off the rails, you know, the brand gets ruined. So, especially with something like mortgages, lines of credit are pretty straightforward, and they typically go well. That's why I tend to lean on those a little more than mortgages.
Well, they're pushing mortgages for us, so we can incorporate it in. But we, like you said, we got to be a little careful because that's a slippery slope.
Well, I know. You got to have the right person. And then, you know, it's like they ask for the same documents three times because they lost them. Or,
right.
You know, they call up and want papers on a spouse that's been divorced, you know, 10 years ago. So
you've
got to have a good person. Don't do it unless you can be guaranteed to have the best person in the department.
Yeah.
But there's always there's always one good one. You know that, right?
Yeah.
So you talk to the head of the department and you tell them what you're doing and you get the best person, and then that's your person forever and any mortgage you do in the future. And then every March that comes around, you do mortgages. You do 10 mortgages every March. And they love you. And that's how you get into, you know, you talk about marketing, right?
Right.
It's the same thing. You know, you start out with a list, and all of a sudden you get an introduction to somebody else that needs a mortgage. And then you need, you know, you have two kids that need mortgages, and then you have this and that. And all of a sudden, you know, you've just done business with 10 new people.
Matt's done. He's our mortgage expert, so maybe we'll just refer that to Matt.
Great.
Yeah. I mean, however, it takes some time. But, I mean, long-term care is the same thing. You know, whatever topic you pick, and you don't have to pick any of these topics. I'm just using them as examples.
Right.
But it educates your client. And part of what you're doing is training your client that this is going to be a different experience than you know, he's ever or she's ever experienced, and that these are really important calls.
Okay.
Great. So that's a 24-month calendar. Um, I like this medical analogy I came up with. It's funny, you think, I wrote everything in my book that I had for 12 years trained people on, right? Every new idea that came since I wrote my first book. And then I said to Cindy, I don't have any more ideas. I'm done. And then she said, oh, Rob, that's ridiculous. You'll have brought some new ideas. So this week, we got the 24-month marketing calendar. That's a new idea. Goes right in the folder. And then this analogy, I've always used the medical analogy, right? The dentist office, the doctor's office, using the administrator to set up all appointments and then follow up and then set the next appointment and so on. So that's been a solid analogy. So I thought, okay, so what is the new financial advisor, what do they do compared to the medical practice? How has that evolved and how have we evolved? So the old practice was, medical practice was, our analogy is to the emergency room. It's completely reactive. It's very good, great triage team. It's exhausting. People leave completely exhausted. They know that the work is never done. And it's tough on the staff because they can't do any long-term planning. They can't do any long-term work. All the long-term work always goes to heck in the chaos of war. All right, so that was the oldest model. The new model is, the ABCD model, where you've got way too many clients. You're trying to handle them, but you are giving kind of a family planning kind of experience. So you're an internist. The problem is, the average internist has 2,000 patients. So it's, you're always waiting. It's late, it's not a great experience. Even though they're great, they do a physical, so they do financial planning, but they never really get around to giving any kind of personalized service because they have too many clients. And then is the kind of the modern concierge physician who delivers a great experience to a limited number of patients and helps with future planning, all right? So preventive medicine is the hot topic in medicine. How do we create preventive medicine? And that's what the concierge physician does. They're constantly screening for issues, trying to help you be prepared for the next crisis, helping you with all kinds of issues having to do with your physical condition. Well, you, as the modern financial advisor, do planning, but you do it for a limited number of people so you can deliver a concierge-like experience. You have good follow-up. You anticipate issues, and you deliver a preventive medicine for them financially. So you help prevent people from running out of money. You help people spend more money when they can. The financial plan will help their children through estate planning and other things that could be catastrophically difficult, hard on a family that doesn't do it. So it's kind of a family office group. Financial planning. And guess who's bringing in all the money? I will tell you, with your firm and every other firm, a huge amount of the money that's being brought in is being brought in with people that have 50 clients, have a minimum of $5 to $10 million, and spend, 40-50% of their time prospecting for big clients. So big surprise, right? Why would they bring in more money? Well, they're spending more time prospecting, and they're very focused on who they're prospecting. So that's our model, right? Our model, though, is with 70 clients, and our minimums may not be as high as some of the private wealth advisors, but it's basically the same model. And my contention is you do it better than they do it. I had a guy that is going after a case, $200 million. and he doesn't do Supernova, he doesn't do a very good job. He doesn't do the in-depth financial planning, but he wins big cases, and it's not fair. So
life isn't
don't
fair.
Ever think that you're not good enough or smart enough or, you know, with Supernova, you can deliver everything that an ultra-high net worth client deserves. And people have said to me, oh, that Supernova, that's cookie cutter. I said, that's the opposite of cookie cutter. It's customized for each person. They actually know they're an individual. That's why we ask them, what's on your mind, rather than going right into some agenda. It's very customized for them, very personalized. Anyway, I'm talking too much.
No? Okay. That helps.
Well, I think if you can kind of get that medical analogy and think if you were a physician, what would you be doing today? You know, would you be an ER doctor, which would be fun, but crazy, and you really wouldn't make the money? A family practitioner with 2,000 patients and going crazy? Or do you want to be a concierge physician anticipating people's needs and dealing with high net worth clients that pay you a fair amount for your time? I think you're a concierge. And I think you can do a better job for those people because, frankly, they can pay for it. And so they demand it and you deliver it.
That's right.
Sounds like
questions
a plan.
Questions on that?
No, I think we're right enough to get that concept.
Yeah.
Just a matter of putting it into practice.
Yeah, I think it's one where you can kind of get your mantra together. You know, I was talking about elevator speech or value proposition or something. Using that analogy, I think, would help people to understand what it is that you do.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of meeting with centers of influence, have you broken ground on that? Where are you on that?
I have to say nowhere. I've been out for the last week or week and a half. I just got back at the end of last week, so that's next on my to-do list.
Good. It's like, you know, it's like playing good golf. You have to do it with patience. People run out of patience in 20 minutes trying to develop centers of influence, and they miss winning the big tournaments because they just don't have patience. They push too hard too soon. So you have to be very patient with the process, understanding that these people will be there for the next 20 or 30 years, however long your career is, and they can give you 15 million a year in introductions, if it's the right person. So you don't need many.
But yeah, I think that's more of a quality over quantity thing. At least that's what I've been thinking through that in terms of who to actually engage with.
That's right. So you want to, you know, it's a five-step process. You interview them to see if they're a good fit for you and where they'll fit in. Are their minimums the same as your minimums? What is their niche? What is the quality experience that they deliver? Who are their people? Is it consistent? Do they have a great brand? If they are enthusiastically endorsed by everybody, why? What makes their team so great? I interviewed a guy named John Bird in Ohio, at the Cancer Institute there, and he's the number one doctor in oncology and blood cancer in the world. And I interviewed him, and I asked him, John, why are you the best in the world? He said, oh, well, I just do a lot. I do a lot of research and stuff. But it's because of my team. And then I asked his team why they were so good, and he said, oh, John is such a wonderful guy to work for. He's the best in the world. You see? So it was that mutual admiration that made them so good. And they truly are outstanding. So that's what you want. You want your team to think the world of you, and you want to think the world of them. And that's part of the leadership thing. But when you go to interview centers of influence, you want to hear them say that. You know, why are you so good? Well, because my team's fabulous. And the team says, oh, it's because of our CPA is so great. Okay? So the steps are important. Interview them, then come back and show them your five-star model and why you are so well-organized and why that helps the client. And then teach them the enthusiastically endorsed meeting in the third meeting or the fourth meeting. First meeting is to establish that they're interested. Second meeting is at their place. Third meeting is at your place. Fourth meeting is to teach them the enthusiastically endorsed model. And the fifth meeting is your first regular monthly meeting. And that will help you to create long-term relationship, your friend-making, developing true friendships.
I like that.
Okay. So your job, your role, your homework is to get an appointment with somebody that's enthusiastically endorsed or that you've done business with for years and has referred to you, but you want to reintroduce yourself and what you're doing and why you're doing it.
Okay.
And then, your close is to assuming you know what they do and why they do it, you probably can learn that from that meeting if you've been doing business with them for years. What's your niche? What's your minimum? How many clients do you have? So forth. So then the second meeting would be at your place where you teach them what you do and why you're different and what it is that has changed since he knew you before. Okay?
Okay. That's good. I like that.
One of the things that I want you to think about all the time is, if I have a meeting with someone, what is the next step that I'm closing for? Never walk away from any meeting where you don't have a next step. It's a trap. We all go into it not knowing how the meeting's going to come out, and then we come out with no next step. Then we try and establish a next step with a phone call. And that may go well or it may not. So you close for the next step in the meeting. Because face-to-face, you can always close better. Okay?
If you don't, you move on?
Huh?
And if you can't, you move on?
You will. You will. That's the best news in the world, right? He's not a prospect. Or he's not a prospect, could be a COI, or he's not a prospect, could be a client. That's great news. You want that news early. It's like firing somebody early. Hire slowly, fire quickly. So you want to know that this is not going to work, because then you go to find the person where it will work.
Okay.
All right. Sounds good.
The maybe is the worst. You know that. No time for maybes.
Okay.
My dad had a saying for that, but I won't share it.
I bet he did. He was in sales probably, right?
It had something to do with the pot, but I don't know.
All right. All right, guys. Hey, I'm very excited about your interest in acquisition. Now show me some... Show me some action, okay?
You got it.
Thanks, Rob.
Take care.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. Bye-bye.